How much can we rest into the sense of intention that we bring into being when we practice together? How much we can be interested to see, how much we can allow those intentions to become felt. It's here, right here, you know, to know metta as a somatic experience. You know, to know it in the body, to know it in the awareness, to have a felt sense of that. It's really kind of in tune with this idea that these aren't just intentions, they're real invitations. Invitations for a felt sense. And so the structure of this session will be, we'll shortly have a meditation, and then I want to share a little bit of a reflection today. And this meditation and reflection are actually quite close to that, knowing this, you know, metta as a somatic experience. I'm interested in a way of doing metta practice, which I've been exploring recently, which actually connects with kind of, we might say, like conditions of well-being, sometimes referred to as samadhi. Sometimes samadhi sounds, you know, kind of distant, but like, you know, anything that we were doing then was actually a samadhi on those intentions. Someone mentions this intention, you know, loving awareness. You think, oh, what's that? What would loving awareness feel like? And I just like sit with that. And the samadhi is being together, bringing heart, mind, body together on that particular thing, letting it have a felt sense. And if we continue to rest our attention on there, we would say we absorb into that quality. So that's not, kind of doesn't sound like something too distant. What I'm interested in is seeing metta practice as this kind of offering of phrases. Yeah, and each of those phrases is actually a seed of an intention of what I wish for you. So typically we'd bring someone to mind and we would, you know, may you be happy. You know, that kind of, that can be like a phrase, but it could also be a seed of a felt sense, like what's happiness? What's happiness as I offer it to you? And so I'm really sensitive to that feeling of happiness, I'm sensitive to that feeling of you, and I'm sensitive to that feeling of offering it to you. Yeah, and then we have this thing we call metta practice. Normally when I'm guiding a metta practice, I'd say to people, you use your own phrases, feel what kind of moves you, but I'm actually have a kind of a specific idea I want to share. So if you can bear it, it might be more interesting for this session if we just use phrases which are more or less what I'm saying, or have the same feeling of what I'm explaining, what I'm expressing, you know, kind of putting it in your own words, but like have a kind of sense to that. And I think in this session, we'll take about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, we'll basically be offering this to someone who we have a wholesome, friendly, maybe easygoing relationship. Yeah. So as you'll probably be aware, we can extend the field of metta into more difficult relationships or more neutral relationships. And that's really skillful. But in this one, we'll probably just stay in that field and then open out, share it with all beings towards the end. Okay, so if you would like to, you find yourself a comfortable position, and we'll have this meditation flow onto a reflection, then there'll be time for you to kind of share how you met this and how you meet metta practice or anything else that's going on in your own practice. So finding something in the present to rest the attention into. You have a few calming breaths to really help us to settle into our posture. Or if you prefer something, maybe like a wide open feeling of sounds. If you notice the mind is really busy, maybe a little bit of what we've called in the past intimacy counting, which would be background, keeping it just a count on the breath, generally with the felt sense of the breath. But just remembering, which breath am I on? Seeing if we can get up to 3 breaths, if we want, get up to 7 breaths. That's really in the background, the counting. The foreground's the felt sense of the experience, the breath, of the sounds. Of course, at times, mind wanders away from this intention. The nature of intentions, it's natural. As we bring attention closer towards the breath or the sounds again, just relaxing through the body as we do that, supporting a spacious atmosphere. And then getting intimate, getting close, feeling . So we're going to begin the transition towards metta practice for those who wish to. And of course, knowing it's your free choice if you prefer to do another practice, very welcome to do that. Seeing if you can open out the heart space, whatever that might mean for you. Maybe kind of having a sense of setting the cavern of the mind, something comfortable to invite in a being with whom we have a friendly, easygoing relationship. And this doesn't have to be a human being. It might be easier for the depth of empathy we feel if they are. So who would that being be today? Whoever comes to mind, just welcoming them into the heart space, welcoming them to rest in your attention, in the mind, the image of them, the felt sense of them. As we have them there in our attention, notice how naturally wish them well. Wish for their well-being. Wish that they may feel healthy in the body, heart, and mind. We feel that sharing this phrase, may you feel energized and clear. May you feel energized and clear. You can just feel that for yourself. Feel, what would that be like? What was that like when we last felt energized and clear? Or what would it be like to really have an unblock, freely flowing, vital, alive energy through the whole body, through the space of awareness around the body. And that felt sense of an energized body from the toes right up to the head. And once we have that sense of them, offering that out to this being in the heart space, in the mind's eye. May you feel energized and clear. Works best for you, which means what feels good. It's very subjective, follow your heart. Maybe it's the imagination of this, Maybe we feel it radiating from every pore of your body towards them. Try a few ways, and then just settle on one of them, following it through. May you feel energized and clear. Clear, it's the clearness of their knowing faculty, clarity. Sense of feeling that in our own selves, what it's like to be clear, not confused, steady attention. Bright awareness. May you be energized and clear. So it may feel at times there's a lot going on in the imagination or in the feeling sense. My feeling is to mostly stay with the felt sense of what our metta phrase is, that energized and clear. The image of the being therefore might fade at times. Don't struggle too much with that, that's okay. Keeping close to the feeling of what we're offering, and that we're offering it, we're giving this away. You can also stay with the feeling at times, but generally it's the offering it away. Imagine in three steps, getting a real felt sense of energized and clear. Going slowly with that. And then felt sense of this being in the heart space, in the mind's eye, and then receiving it. But more so that we're offering it to them, giving it away. Letting it spread beyond us. Now gently softening, turning to the sense of breathing here, sense of what's arising and passing in the sound sphere. Just resting or relaxing in the moment of mindfulness and presence. Ready, it's reconnecting to this being, your wishing metaphor. And as you connect with them, just notice how it naturally arises that we wish for them to be happy, to be content. Maybe you can imagine, what is it like? Or what was it like? Or how is it right now? Or what would it be like to have deep, really deep well-being? How would that feel? How would it express itself in body, heart, and mind? Might say, what would relax? What would come alive in the heart, in the mind? And with that felt sense, offering it to this being that's dear to you. May you feel satisfied, or may you easily feel satisfied. Happy, content. Easily feel satisfied, feeling it welling up in ourselves, this imagined state or felt state, and offering that away. And again, is it the imagination? Is it radiating out of the pores of the body? Is it colouring the awareness of us and the other? feeling that deep well-being, what it relaxes, what it enlivens. And how it is to give it away. May you easily feel satisfied. Content. Happy. Free from demands for more or for less of anything at all. Again, just releasing this pressure of any sense we need to do anything at all in this practice, relaxing. Just being with the breath, the sounds arising and passing. This being to come into focus for us. But feeling for yourself, what would it be like if this being were in deep peace? If they felt safe from harm, if they felt at home in their body, heart, in their mind, in their awareness. Feeling, imagining, what is it like, or what was it like, or what would it be like to have a peaceful feeling inside the body? What would it be like to feel the whole space of your awareness pervaded with peace, made of peace? There's even just a sense of that at all, offering it to your being of metta. May you feel deep peace. May you know deep peace. Knowing that any time you can come back to this feeling of peace, this feeling of offering it away, offering it to someone dear. Now just resting, how it is to listen to breath. Have a felt sense of sounds and the condition of awareness that's here with you, that's experiencing. now to our being, and our phrase, and our felt sense, the last phrase for this session. Sense that no matter what comes and goes, maybe there's something wide, that's open, stabilizing, that's relaxed and awake, that allows for all things. Sense of equipoise, sense of equanimity, to be at ease with all things, deeply relaxed, not pushing or pulling, just feeling or imagining what it is, what it was, or what it would be like to experience that atmosphere of allowing all things. And also the allowing, a peaceful fading of things. You notice at times, you know, body fades away, sounds disappear. Somehow relaxed with and without. How is it to rest into that nature of our awareness that just reveals? Deeply at ease. Feel how we automatically would wish to offer this to our being. But may you feel at ease with all things and the disappearance of all things. May you feel at all at ease with all things. It's feeling for yourself that wide condition. Feel at ease with all things. Wide open space and offering it away. It's So in this moment, just returning to breath and to sounds, all this widespread awareness. And notice how it would feel to offer these qualities to all beings everywhere, all living life forms. In this moment, wherever they find themselves, whatever form, may you feel energized and clear, unblocked, alive. May you feel easily satisfied, deep well-being. All beings everywhere, may you feel deep, nourishing peace inside and all around you. And may all beings feel deeply at ease with all things, and also with the peaceful fading into nothing. So thank you everyone for participating in the meditation together. I hope some of it feels helpful and something we'd like to explore a little bit more of, because I'm going to speak a little bit about some of the ideas and some of the reflections that I have around this practice. First of all, just to kind of mention the spirit of dana that these sessions are offered in. As many of you will know, you know, Gaia House is offering us this space freely, and particularly at a time when it isn't able to support itself through running retreats in the normal way. As you know, we can't go there yet. Hopefully that's going to become possible. So if you feel able to support Gaia House in any way with some dana, then you can return back to the original page that you came from to come here. Follow those links through to the dana offering place there. You can also offer dana for the teachings that are offered through here. And so we deeply appreciate that it's all uncertain times for people, and that the uncertainty is certainly hitting some of us harder than others. And so, if you're able to support Gaia House, you're able to support the teachers, teachings, like what I'm offering here, then, you're very, very welcome. And you can do that, as I say, back through what Gaia House has set up through the links from the online Dharma Hall page. And for me, you can also support me through this link I've just put in the chat, the Dependent Origination website. And you can also have a little look at that that site as well for some more stuff that I put together. And there will be a lot of background noise because as someone writes, this is what it's like in a city in Israel. They like to share their metta phrases on the horn. May you be horn! And all of those kind of phrases, but I think they do mean the same kind of sentiment that we're getting down with, that they want us to be well and to get to wherever we need to on time in a relaxed and safe manner. But like all human beings have a funny way of showing it. So it's a deep appreciation for everyone and for what you're offering, and I think the main dana that we give is just by showing up here and doing our practice. But if you're in a place where you can offer a bit to keep these things going, that's really helpful. So it won't be complete news to anyone to hear that, you know, metta can be used as a well-being practice. You know, it generates in us a sense of well-being at times, you know, to do these practice. So some speak of this as kind of being a samadhi practice, or, you know, something that supports samadhi. And so it's always worth kind of defining these terms. Samadhi often gets translated as concentration, and that's a great use of the word, I think, etymologically. I think colloquially it's a little bit more confusing. You know, if you ask me to concentrate on something, I'll usually kind of screw up my eyebrows and my brow, really concentrate in that way, and I don't think that use of concentration has much meaning. But as I understand it, meaning con, to be with, the center, centre, so kind of opening into our centeredness, I think it really makes a lot of sense. Yeah, feeling really centered. Yeah, so if anyone felt, oh, I'm really centered in that meditation, then they were, you know, concentré, they were with their center and something was going on there. Indications of this with the centerness would be, you know, real sensitivity of the heart. Yeah, kind of the ability to hold the space for the heart is really increased those times. We might say in the heart of the heart of actually well-being. And so it kind of comes out, comes through us in that sense. And I think this is what the Buddha was speaking about. It's kind of some kind of unshakable depth of fulfillment. Yeah. Inner resource. So if in that metta meditation, you know, you ever felt really quite good, you know, it's like, actually, I really feel quite good in whatever it was, you know, the spaciousness, the peacefulness, the, you know, imagining a state of contentment and offering it away. Right? You generated for yourself a condition of well-being. Okay, I didn't give it to you, right? The Buddha didn't give it to you. You generated it yourself, right? So these teachings are like a recipe. We follow the recipe, and boom, yeah, oh, a bit more well-being in my existence. Where did that come from? Words, thoughts, da 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 da. You know, it came from something within. You know, the sensitive, deep heart of well-being was opened out, and out popped conditions of well-being. Yeah. So this concentre, coming into the center, being with that center, letting that sensitivity of the heart wake up, take over, come through. Okay, so that's my definition of it. So there's the felt sense in the metta as a samadhi. Okay, so then we combined this into the samadhi practice, right? So we sort our way through past experiences or through imagined experiences of a felt sense of what would it be like if I was full of well-being? What would it be like if I was full of energy and clarity? What would that be like? You know, just imagine it, starts to call it back. If it's a past experience, starts to invite it. If it's a future experience, starts to get us closer. This whole kind of sense around meditation practice is there's a goal. Okay, the goal is what? In this case, you know, to be energized, to be clear in the mind. How do we get there? Practice like you're there starts to invite it towards us. Yeah. So this kind of patterning of practice at certain times is, oh, I'm heading towards the goal, I'm on this long trek, this long journey. And as we know, you know, as you get closer to the mountain, it kind of actually, it's getting bigger and bigger. You know, but this sense of like also imagining it, I feel like the goal starts to head towards us. Yeah, so I'm walking, but the mountain's also walking to me. Yeah, and it's kind of getting closer, I'm getting a felt sense of it, I can smell it, experience it. And then we add in this beautiful spice of metta is we give it away. Yeah, and then we give it away. And so you may notice that a certain time with beautiful experiences, there can be like, oh great, I had a great experience, can't wait to tell everyone and see how I land on the, you know, Buddhist meditation ranking tables of, you know, other people that have had this experience, you know, or I get to keep it for myself in my memorabilia of my own kind of meditative trophy shelf of like, yeah, I can get to this experience. No, like what's so good about it is that we also just give it away. So metta has this lovely spirit, this lovely flavor. And what does it do? It amplifies the loveliness of it. So what do you notice when you give away, you know, an energized feeling? What does it do? It unblocks right? Because that energized feeling is like the unblocking of things, it's kind of flowing through. Giving it away unblocks the last few little bits that were maybe kind of blocking it up, yeah? So it's a really great way of doing your samadhi practice, because, you know, you can get this feeling, oh, you know, I've got to get it for myself. No, just I'm actually doing this, I'm generating this so I can give it away to a dear being. And then, as you'll see in metta practice, we can also offer it to other beings as well. Why would anyone not be deserving of an energized and fruitful bodily or awareness feeling? Or that deep condition of contentment? Or that really wide base of peacefulness? Or an ease with the comings and goings of things? Yeah. So, these metaphrases, some of you might notice that they're pretty close to what we normally offer, but I just kind of amplified a few of the other qualities. So you can kind of see in them also, you know, the qualities of compassion. You can also see the qualities of appreciative joy. You can also see the qualities of metta right in there, and also of upekkha, you know, the equanimity with all things. They also correlate across to what at least Rob Bebea refers to as the nimittas of the jhanas. You know, so in the first jhana we have the main nimitta is piti, this energization of the body, heart, mind. You know, it's like, whoa, real kind of eruption of energy comes through when things are unleashed and freed up. Yeah, so then we offer out energy, clarity, energization. In the second one is sukha, this kind of deep happiness. You know, a deep resource of happiness can come into the being, and we remain absorbed in that, allow that quality. In the third jhana moves into this kind of shift of kind of peacefulness from the deep satisfaction that's there by being able to be a resource for our own well-being. Yeah, so the Buddha talks about this kind of conviction that arises. Oh, these practices and teachings, they actually work. And they resource us deep in that concentra with that deep centeredness. And then, you know, into the equanimity of the fourth jhana, this quality of easing even our delicate, subtle push-pull on their needing to be an appearance, and their needing to be a self, and their needing to be a happening in the normal way that we have experiences. Very, very kind of deep, amazing experiences. But what's interesting is through this, maybe these aren't an absorption, but they're a correlative to it. You know, they relate to these qualities. And so they also nourish us. Yeah, they're also healthy for us in the same way. So we get, you know, like a dose of jhana outside of a deep state. Yeah. So we might call them kind of deepening happinesses. Yeah, deepening happinesses. So the first kind of happiness that we're quite familiar with is kind of excitement type happiness. It's, oh yes, you know, going to get this kind of thing, this kind of sukha. It's something broader, it's something more wholesome, so, you know, more like contentment. And then it turns out that also peacefulness is actually a form of happiness. Yeah, it's actually a form of happiness, and each of them kind of fill more of the being. Yeah, they have kind of a longer wave. Yeah, longer wave. Last longer, yeah, excitement, you know, like I don't know what that is, a high frequency wave maybe. I don't actually know what I'm talking about in terms of this metaphor. And then sukha, you know, it has this kind of longer frequency wave. You know how you know just contentment? It's like, ooh, I like contentment. It's a bit like stroking a cat. And then, you know, the peacefulness, like it's just this. Oh, isn't it so lovely when you get to the sea and all of a sudden it's just completely calm? You think, wow. Wow, peacefulness, that kind of deep satisfaction. And then the equanimity, you know, beyond ocean, you know, beyond all these metaphors. It turns out even more happy making, you know, even more deeply nourishing. So, as we say, you know, we open to these and we go beyond the normal kind of self-concern, cultivating new ways of relating, and how metta practice, it's shifting it, it's giving us a skillful way to actually bypass quite a lot of the kind of cognitive biases we can have, you know, so it's kind of negativity bias. It's, oh, I'm really doing my meditation, I know, because I'm focused in on my, you know, stuff. some people might use a less polite S word, focusing on my stuff anyway, you know. And it's like, oh, that's what meditation's about. It's like facing your stuff, doing this. So we're actually just redressing this by feeling into this quality and giving it away. Giving it away. It's not selfish, you know, because we're giving it away. That's why we're doing it. But you may notice we also get nourished. We also get rejuvenated. So we have good intentions, but we're on the same frequency as those things that we're offering away. And it's not a trick. It's just the best way, I think, is to feel it and offer it away. I think it's the best way of knowing what it is you're offering. Yeah, taste your dish before you serve it. You know, metta meditation, just to name it, is really good actually against the affinity bias, you know. And the affinity bias, you know, we tend to offer things to people like us, we tend to be close to people like us. So just, it's a great practice when we're expanding those boundaries. It's like, how about someone who's really not like me? They're also deserving of this. And challenge those social constructs that we have. And also, why not? Why wouldn't we want to do a fulfillment practice? Yesterday morning, I woke up with this word in my head, fulfillment practice. Don't think I'd ever heard it before. For some reason, it was there in my head when I woke up. And I thought, oh yeah, what a fulfillment practice is. So, you know, it can leave you with that question. But I certainly think metta, samadhi, they're this kind of feeling, they're fulfillment practices. Yeah, fill us full of something. I think I popped off for a second there, didn't I? Yeah. So maybe I just woke up again. So, you know, what you'll notice in these practices, they work a little bit like fractals, you know, the same patterning. You can just kind of dive into each one and just see more and more details kind of pop out and appear. And that's a certain sense of what I'm meaning by their fulfillment, kind of endlessly dived into and explored. It's a sense that they're actually kind of virtuously circular as well. Yeah. It's more well-being we can generate, more we can offer away, more comes to us, more comes through, more we can offer, pass away. The more we free up the flow of energy within us, the more energy we have to offer away and into the world. And this might go beyond our meditations, yeah. Beyond our relationship to this nearest other, this body here, yeah. This phenomenal nature being that we find ourselves able to experience. Yeah. May come through in ways that we want to treat this nearest other, this body. Yeah. Interested in freeing up energy. Are we doing our yoga? You know, are we doing our exercise? Are we looking after this body? Are we feeding it well? Sleeping it well? Yeah. Putting it in a good posture. You can also see, you know, this kind of inner resource of happiness, contentment, non-demanding. Am I practicing that on the cushion, off the cushion? Yeah. Buddha talks about this, yeah, conviction and confidence that we don't have to be constrained by our biological cultural habits, yeah, of the world, which ends up in this kind of pushing away what we don't like, pulling towards us what we do like. A wisdom approach that goes beyond this push-pull, referred to as tanha in the Pali. Yeah, it's thirsting. Could be a different way of being that we're sensing, an inner resource of happiness. Yeah, and then this third quality, the peacefulness, this opening, the expansiveness, this lessened contraction. It's also around this tanha push-pull, but this felt sense of inner peace. This is peaceful. This is peaceful. And the Buddha would say, this, you know, this practitioner is having a peaceful abiding. It's also kind of rationally peaceful, non-demanding. Being peace. We have a retreat coming up in Palestine, which normally it's open to international guests. This time it's not possible with the lockdowns. We're hoping we can still do it with some Israelis. Going into Palestine, being peace. Yeah. Places of conflict, they need people who know how to tune into peace, how to be peace, to go out there and practice it. As we listen, as we participate, as we help with the olive harvest. So we can bring it where it's felt to be needed. So as we do our metta practice, if you get into this way of practicing, you might pick up people who really seem to be lacking peace. Right? They might even be acting harmfully because they're lacking peace. Yeah? May you have peace. May you have this peace. Would they be the same if they had this peace? Would the world be the same if we could generate it more? If we could freely offer it to the world for free? And then this equanimity quality, you know, so hard to speak about in a few words, but just this sense that it's not just my affinities, yeah, it's this affinity bias, not just if you're like me, not just to get an experience like this one. Let's offer it out without a clear perception of where this is exactly heading. And seeing how that resources us to can change a being in our perception and maybe change a being in their own perception. And again, if that can come through in the way that we relate to others, for how they are, for how they appear. But there's also this interesting part to this, which is actually really playing with the perception of things, playing with the perception of this being. You know, this kind of equanimity quality. Sometimes when we call a being to mind, it's this snapshot of them. You know, and sometimes they might be more like a dynamic, animated version of themselves, or they might be something fluid. But we can play with this perception of them, and also the fading of the perception of them. And I mentioned that sometimes they'll just fade away and they'll just be a stronger feeling of this felt sense. Yeah, it's also okay, I feel, in this meditation. The perceptions arise, pass, fade. Yeah. Because what are they held there, dependent on? Will be a subtle push-pull. This fixed sense becomes more dynamic and maybe disappears altogether. It's very difficult area of the practice to speak about, where things are unfolding in this way. We want something really linear, and in the recipe, you know, it's one cup of this, one cup of that, and at the end they say, and then there's a sprinkle of something that may or may not be there. And then, oh yeah, okay, so this might have faded away, but it might be there, it might be present. Be attentive to what's going on, and then sometimes just rest back into the peacefulness. You have to see for yourself how exactly you're going to spice up the last bits of this practice. But I like to speak about three parts of a practice. Yeah? Being really clear about our intentions. Yeah? Clear, what's my intention? It might be related to my broad idea of the goal of the path. More kindness. More kindness, let's say, is one example. Yeah? It could be anything. And then we tune into that. We get specific. Okay, so what am I actually going to do? What are my acts of, you know, so say in this case, you know, kindness towards X, this being. I'm going to bring this being into my, offer kindness towards them in this way, the specifics. And then we do it. This is the middle part of the practice, just doing that, doing that, doing that. Drift away, come back, doing it again, you know, playing with that, getting it working for us. And then the third part is this discernment part. How did that go? What was working there? What went well? What did it generate in my feeling of myself? We might have a longer term discernment. Did that change how I relate to this being in my life? Yeah. And so that we'll see, maybe the practice aligns us, you know, more freedom, more well-being, as we bring those purposes into being. We're getting clear about our intentions, bringing them into practice, seeing what it brings into being. Hopefully all of those can feel helpful and supportive.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.